You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
ShipRock's 2022 lineup has been announced, and we can't believe how awesome it is either. So go ahead and check out the artist lineup at ShipRock.com and get your cabins booked today. We look forward to seeing you on the ship.
Making Waves.
Welcome, everyone. It's Making Waves, episode 46. We have started the series now where we're going to start talking to all the bands who are joining us in 2022. And last week, we had Mark from Lamb of God, which is amazing. And this week, it's Jack Underkoffler from Dead Poets Society. Jack, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me. Just a little bit of a step down. Not too much, but a little bit of a step down.
You'd be surprised what 6 months will do, my brother, in this industry. You know that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. You guys could be Imagine Dragons
right now, because it could be your mom, Jack. And it's a step. Big step.
But Jack, you guys actually share something in common with Lamb of God, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the first thing I want to bring up, Jack, and I want you to bear with me. Chad, bear with me.
I'm bearing.
Talk shit, babe. Say like you want to leave. You love me like cocaine. Jack, what the hell are they teaching there at Berkeley?
Well, I mean, I think that might be the opposite of what they taught me at Berkeley. You know, you just can't say that one came from there.
No, but it's a fantastic line. And, you know, bands always kind of go, you know, you guys have been around, but this is the big album, right? The exclamation album is dropping and it's out. And when you can kind of come up with that as like a lyric from a big, like kind of the new song off the debut album, it sticks. And you're like, you've already set a precedent for the band. Like, this band is going to be one I'm going to fucking be like pulling lyrics from to fucking talk to my ex-lover with. Right.
I hope. Yeah. That's why we're here, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a fantastic record. And before I let Chad and you guys talk some artist stuff, I talked about listening to the record. And I had a flashback to driving around in my girlfriend's Fiat in 85. I know I'm dating myself. But the song Salt, I'm like, where have I heard this?
Salt reminded you of an 85 Fiat.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
It was a sexy Fiat, by the way. Let me tell you what it did. I'm listening to it going, it's not the song, but it's so goddamn close. It reminded me of Darling Nikki from Prince.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay. Oh,
okay, cool.
So Purple Rain came out when I was driving around that damn Fiat, and all we could do is we rewind to track four, Darling Nikki. So when I heard Salt, I was like, yep, it feels like Darling Nikki, man. So congratulations for stirring up memories.
Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, man.
Yeah. So, and listen, again, before I hand it to Chad, we always look for reference points, right, with other bands for younger bands, right? Yeah, they sound like this, and this. There's too many to mention on here. As far as people, you got to go, oh, I hear a bit of that. We all pull from whatever. I mean, if you're a writer, you pull from Kerouac or Thompson or whoever.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what you guys are going, yeah, we kind of sound like this, but this track sounds like, well, this track has a little bit of flavor there. So at the end of the day, it ends up becoming solely Dead Poets Society. And
right there
is a mark of a great record and a great start, full-length start to your career. So congratulations on that. I'm done talking. Chad, it's all you, buddy.
Don't say you're done talking, because I only
I'll come back. I'll come back.
So, hey, man, I'll fill his face.
You're on the helm. See ya.
I'll fart into the microphone for 45 minutes if you guys want.
Hey, I ain't farting on no snare drum. The thing about what you were just saying, Justin, is like I had no idea where he was going to go with that, Jack. We didn't talk about this at all. I was like, what is he going to say here? Because I listened to the record in its entirety last night and picked up a few more tracks and listened to them again today. I wouldn't have taken what he took away from it. But then again, I wasn't in that 85 Fiat, and I understand the magic of just the sonic sounds that your music and a song like Darling Nikki would kind of like mirror. And then also there's probably a lot of fingering going on. That's where I kind of go mentally, is like that Fiat story was totally like, oh, I know, is this gonna, this dude went straight to, you know, kissing and necking, if you will. And that's what your whole vibe gives me when I listen to the record. It was like push and pull, you're like a very protagonist character in your lyrics, but the version of where I think it's coming from, and I could be wrong when I'm listening back to it, is I feel like somebody hurt you and you're kind of feeling like you have to be the protagonist, right, in the story in order to get past whatever version of these scars that were kind of given to you. So with that, with all of that nonsense behind me, why did it take this long to put this record out? Because you started the band in 2013, right?
Yeah, we started in 2013. You know, to be completely honest, we were just, when we started the band, we're so like go, go, go that we kind of adopted this mindset of just like, well, nobody wants a record right now. Like nobody knows who we are. So let's just put out music and let's just keep putting out music, singles, EPs, doesn't fucking matter. Let's just stay on the radar. If we think it's good, we'll put it out. And that's just kind of how we did it for 6-7 years. And then about, I guess, 3 years ago, we had some traction and we were like, maybe we should start considering a full length. Like maybe we should do something with it. And I actually wasn't on board with it at first. And our guitarist kept pushing for it. And so I was like, all right, well, let's see where we go from here. We had a few songs and we were like, let's just start amassing this stuff. And so I think over, you know, the course of 2 years, you go, especially since we moved across the country, there was just a lot of change that was happening. And I think that it reflected in the evolution of the album within itself. I think we changed as people, we changed as musicians, and that was the reflection. So that's really the reason it took so long to put it out. It's just like, we didn't think anybody really like gave a shit yet. And so when we decided, well, it's about time, I think, and things were starting to line up and they continued to line up. So we were like, all right, let's go through with this. Let's see what we come out with.
That's first of all, so you're Los Angeles currently. You made the record in Los Angeles, I would take it.
Yeah, Orange County specifically, but yeah.
Okay, so I would have to be, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, I don't know where your origination actually is. I would assume in Georgia. I don't know why, but am I right or wrong?
No. Very, very wrong. Very wrong. But that's okay. We started as a band in New England in Boston, Massachusetts. We all met in very college. Wrong. Yeah. No, that's fine though. We're from all over the country. Still very wrong, even if we are spread out over the country, but you know, it's okay. I appreciate the risk. So we started in New England.
The risk. I love that.
And in 2016, July of 2016, my guitarist, who's also named Jack, texted me and was like, all right, are we going to move? Are we going to do something? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, do you want to move to LA? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, when do you want to do it? And we just kind of looked at each other. We're like, next week? Let's do it. Yeah, fuck it. And so we just got in his grandparents had just given him a 2001 Ford Taurus. And as kind of like a graduation gift or whatever, just a hand-me-down thing. And we loaded it up to the absolute brim with all of our, like everybody's gear. There's like way too much of suspension. Like the tires were almost touching the wheel well. And we just started driving. And then that thing blew out. What's up?
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us went. Okay. And then our bassist and drummer met us later and a month or two later. And, yeah, we just started driving across the country, but that was kind of like where we originated. And we got out to California and we were just like, all right, well, what do we do now? Let's just start meeting people and playing. And so we just kept playing and met more and more people and grew.
So there's so many questions I have because I've done a version of what you're talking about a couple times in my life. As you were telling me the story, the only thing I could think about is a rival in this Ford Taurus is filled to the brim. A 2001.
Oh, the Ford Taurus didn't make it.
Okay.
The Ford Taurus didn't make it.
I'm 100% saying, like, this fucking had
that
to
thing
be
was
disaster.
Left in a parking lot in Beaver Creek, Colorado, and I never saw it again.
That's Dude, fantastic.
Beaver Creek?
Stop. Beaver Creek, yeah.
I had a vehicle break down and catch on fire on me about two towns over in Silverthorne.
No
in the
fucking
valley.
Way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. An RV that we were on tour with at the time burnt to the ground in a Target parking lot. What parking lot in Beaverton were you in?
Holy fuck.
Did you leave it in a Target parking lot in Beaverton or something?
No, I think we left it in a mechanic parking lot. That would have been wild. That would have been wild.
You know, it just shows that Colorado hates artists.
Yeah, those mountains. The mountains are the great filter for touring artists.
If you can make it over those mountains, you deserve whatever stardom is on the other side of them.
Exactly.
Or maybe it loves artists because it just like, dude, listen, we're cool. If you just stay here for a while, you figure that out.
That's why they put those mountains there. Like, you're not fucking going anywhere. You play. I love playing Denver, by the way. So you know, if it breaks down again there, we'll just stay there.
There you go. Hey, Chad was saying something about the record. It had a certain tone to it. It's like, it sounds like a makeup record or like a heartbreak record. To me, it sounds like it's like a modern version of the Afghan Whigs Gentleman album.
Ooh. Okay.
Do you recall that album at all?
I don't. You're going to find in this podcast that there are massive holes in my musical vocabulary.
Well, do yourself a favor. When you get a chance, Gentleman by the Afghan Whigs is Greg Dooley at his finest as far as, like, you know, he's a Lothario type, but someone burned him, man. And you know what? This whole album is dedicated to her. So, it's got that kind of feel to it. But you're talking about the hesitation to put out that full length, but you know, it always comes back to the fact that, like, hey, you have your whole lifetime to make that first record, right? The follow-ups are the trouble. How are we going to do this? How are we going to continue this or top it or whatever, stay equal with it? But, obviously having the benefit of EPs out, so you can kind of test the waters of that, actually having to jump in the entire pool.
Yeah, that was kind of like the thing. It's just, I think that, like, for us, sorry to interject, but like, I think for us, like, we let music kind of write itself. That's why our music all kind of tends to sound very different from, you know, song to song. And like, but like, yeah, like, continue. I don't know where I was going with that. I forgot.
Well, I can tell you that you've mentioned a song to song. I think probably Chad probably heard too. Is you guys are very far ranging. There's no box that you've been put into. You guys, there's hard riveting songs, and then there's songs that are almost like ballads. You have a ballad, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So anyone who goes into this expecting, hey, put on the record, we're going to the pool and have a party because I heard one song, Coda or something like that, they're going to go, shit, man. Wait a minute, hold on. Bring that to the record. Bring it to the after party. Bring it to this. Play it Sunday morning because it applies to every part, every mood. So it succeeds in that. It's like basically it's your carry-all. It's the Swiss Army knife of records. So, yeah.
I appreciate that, man. That was done very purposefully and not purposefully at all. I think I appreciate you saying that because that's what, I mean, we wanted a record that hit every single mood. And I think it's something that's both been beneficial for us and hindered us at the same time is that we don't like to pick a lane because we're not trying to pick a lane. We just write whatever makes us feel something. And if it's good enough, we put it out. And so we'll see in the future if that is better or worse for us. But, you know, that's what we do.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, I respect everything. I mean, that's the way to do it. Yeah. I don't think that the album game is the way currently that any artist, I mean, putting out a record after you've done what you've done is the way. You know, you built the story, you put the bricks in the ground, and now somebody can actually digest. If they're a fan before that, they can digest it. But to people who wait for the full encompassing book, that's now they're catching on, right? So then when I think about all of what you just said, your four friends traveling across America to LA, classic story. You get there, you start playing, you start meeting, things start to work out clearly because you're still together as a band. Who did you decide? I assume that you're probably one of the principal songwriters, Jack?
Yeah.
So when you're thinking about producing a record after putting out the bricks that lay the path, I don't know who produced this record, and I'm not exactly sure why it was Orange County, or I don't know the history. So if you don't mind maybe filling me in, so hopefully our listeners can listen, understand. But, you know, that's a it's a huge piece when you've done all of that, and then you give somebody the reins to kind of like bring all the cattle home, right? So
yeah.
Who did it? Why? And why Orange County?
Well, it was actually by a few different people, including us. Like so we started off with four songs originally. We were just going to put out an EP, and that's when we decided to make the album. And we had a guy named Alex Newport, who's done like At the Drive-In and like City in Color, just like.
Wait, is that Fudge Tunnel, Alex Newport?
Fudge Tunnel, yeah, fucking Fudge
Holy
Tunnel.
Holy, that, what an ear for that guy. He's so heavy and so, you know. Yeah, I got to hear this story. I got to hear this, man.
yeah, I know. For somebody like go from a heavy band like that to produce a record like Little Hell by like City in Color, it's just fucking, I mean, he's so good. So he had done American Blood, and he was a friend of a friend, and we got introduced to him, and he absolutely knocked American Blood out of the park. So we were like, let's do four more with him. And so we went and did four. We did five, but one of them turned out because of it was our fault, the song wasn't good. But like four of the songs we did with him, he produced them, and we'd go up to his house. He has his home studio, and I fucking love being in the studio. So it was just a dream to do it with him. And he's such a laid back, fun guy. And we did the four songs with him, and then we kind of took over the mixing process from there. And then we kind of started collecting more and more songs, and we self-produced them, because it was just like when you're in a band for a long time and you don't co-write, and it's just the four of you on like a music island, basically. You go so far down these like rabbit holes of like what makes you tick, that it's hard to find another person that you can bring on board that knows exactly how you got to the place that you're in. So for us, it's always been a very self-driven thing of like, we know exactly what we are trying to hear. And so we like to kind of keep our hands very much on the reins. And we just, as we evolved and started taking on all these new songs, we kind of produced them ourselves, and then we'd get opinions from people and whatnot, and we'd adjust. And then we somehow landed Tom Delgatti, who mixed Royal Blood's first album, to mix our album. And that fucking blew my mind, because that's one of my favorite albums of all time. And our first conversation with him on the phone, he was talking about like, right, like helping them write, like Come On Over, or like listening to them and helping produce them. I'm just like, what the fuck, dude?
Makes sense. It's a very propulsive sounding album.
What our album is?
Yeah, it's got a punch to it. The same with the Royal Blood did. So that kind of makes sense to have that connection there.
Yeah, I fucking love that band. Like, I'm not afraid to hide it. Like, I know they're like almost the same age as me, but I fucking love that band. So he did the mixing, and then he also kind of like produced a little bit in it. And it just like, it was just, it, the way it came together was just awesome. So it was a mixture of producers and like self-producing, and it's just chaos, which is usually how it goes in our band. So, yeah.
I mean, that sounds like the perfect like 1-2 punch. And now it makes a lot of sense too. I mean, knowing that you guys are, you know, as a unit writing, and then it sounds like very limited people were involved in that process of producing, mixing, all that stuff in general. So like knowing that those two people of any of them were at the helms of any of it, mixed with what you're saying in your story, that's why it sounds so romantic for sure, man.
Yeah. Romantic as shit. Turning me on.
It's funny, I'm fucking hard as shit right now, dude. Can we talk label geekiness for just a second? So it's funny, you guys are out in Spine Farm. Spine Farm kind of made their name on being this black metal aggressive Norwegian Scandinavian type of stuff. And now they've opened up basically their palette and brought in all these type of bands like yourselves to really spread out what the idea of who they are as a label is. They still kept the old stuff from some of those kind of more aggressive bands that now they bring it into like, hey, how can we connect with American audiences? How can we connect with American radio? How did you connect with that? How did that connection happen between Spine Farm and Dead Poets Society?
So I think the way it went was our booking agent, Andrew Buck, who is Bad Flower booking agent. And we went on, they took us on tour and Andrew really liked us and wanted to be our booking agent. And, he introduced us to a really good friend of his named, Darren DeLacio, who is now our A&R, and he worked at Spine Farm, and Darren like loved our music and came out to a show in Jersey. And we just started talking and hit it off. And he understood what we were trying to do because, you know, we had like, as with every musician that has ever lived, you get fucking constantly dicked around by people who are all talk and not action. And I think that we constantly got feedback that we were still looking for our sound and that they have a lot of good music and whatnot. This is their words, not mine. But they're still looking for their sound. And it's like, no, we know what we sound like. It's just that our music sounds a lot different because we don't try to put any restraints on it. And he was the first one to really get that. In reality, it's probably that we were just writing shit music and they didn't want to tell us. But I like to tell myself that this is really what it was.
Sure.
Darren like understood our band and like understood what we were going for. And he was like, I get what you guys are trying to do. So let me help you, and introduced us to, you know, the Spine Farm team and things just kind of kept rolling. And I was expecting it to like, as in the past, just kind of fall apart, and it didn't. And they stuck true to their word and it was fucking awesome, you know? And it's rare. I wouldn't say it's rare, but it's a nice thing to find people who speak with their actions and not their words. And those people are really valuable, and you got to hold them close.
Well, it's funny too. We're in a day and age when people, labels don't matter. Let me tell you, labels matter. They still matter.
I would say they do.
Yeah, they do. So,
yeah. I think that it's more like, you know, people will say there's just a bank or whatever, and yeah, that's the version of it. But like labels matter when you have somebody there who cares about the project. If you don't have anybody or your project somebody who had somebody who cared about the project, and then that person left the label, then we were sitting in a situation where it's like, who's going to take over this as our product manager or whatever it was. And knowing what the reverse of that would look like is like the label name doesn't matter. And just because you have a budget, that doesn't matter. They're going to spend it the wrong way, and they're not going to spend it until a manager pushes them to, you know, like,
yeah.
So I always have to say, like, you could sign to any label, but if that label is using you as the glue or the stone to, you know, find the sword, then you're fucked. You know, you're worse off than being independent. And that record that you put out, that you put your heart and soul into, is, you know, essentially just a piece of dried up shit to somebody.
Yeah. And that's,
even if it's amazing, you know,
I think that everybody, that's kind of the risk you take, but I felt very confident in the fact that, you know, like Darren is a really solid dude, and he's helped us a lot, and everybody on that label has been very, very awesome as far as giving us independence and letting us do our thing and just trusting us. And I think that is like, it's the most ideal situation for us.
You mentioned Bad Flower and Andrew and sharing an agent. I assume that Andrew is still your agent in the U.S. I saw some.
Yes.
I saw that you guys did the live stream in March, and it looked like you did it from a barn. And then I started reading further, and I know that the Bad Flower dudes pretty well. And actually, I work with Ryan. I was reading. I said, wait, a barn in Tennessee? Wait a second. I looked at the picture of one of the videos. I'm like, I think that's the... Oh, and I read, and it was. So
yeah.
your friendship became so close from that tour, it sounds like. I don't know how you guys originally met, but like they were like, come out to Nashville, which is quite the hike, and use this space to do this. And, I didn't get to watch the live stream, but can you tell us a little bit about, you know, that process? Because it seemingly looked really cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all fucking love that. Bad flowers, they're just like some rare, they're rare people. They're just rare people. They're fucking the sweetest, most giving and generous. Like, just, they're just amazing people. And we owe a lot of where we are right now to them, because they, you know, they took a chance and brought us on tour and let us open for them. And since then, they've just, and they've offered us so much help that, like, it's just wild. Like, are you guys doing this for something? It's amazing. And I love all of them in the band. They're all sweet people. And we originally met them because, so we went and saw them like back in like 2016, 2017, because they were playing the Viper Room. And we were just picking a band. We just picked a band. Let's go and see a band tonight. Let's see if we can meet them. And they went and played the Viper Room on Sunset. And afterwards, we talked to them a little bit. And Jack, our guitarist, became friends with the drummer, Anthony. And a couple years went by, and they would, you know, connect it every once in a while and hang out. And then Josh, the singer of the Bad Flower, one day Liz found one of our songs called Under My Skin, and he really liked the bridge of it. So he listened to a few more songs, and he listened to Coda, and he loved that song. And they were trying to pick a band to go on tour with them. This was in 2019. And he was like, what about this band? Like Dead Poets Society. This is what I understand from the story. And Anthony, their drummer, was like, I know the guitarist of that band. And they were like, oh, for real? Let's do it. And they brought us on tour. And I mean, we're with Spine Farm now. We have Andrew Bach. We're playing Shiprock. It's like it all sparked from that one little thing. And they've just been so generous and kind ever since then. And I love all of them to death. You know, I actually was texting Ryan just the other day.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're 100% correct. I mean, correct about the band, the fellas, they're, but you know, that story is incredibly important, not just about Bad Flower and Dead Poets Society, but about the bridge of humanity, humility, connectivity, and how it transforms and translates to like the literal culture that we're all a part of here. And there's no better version of that, I think, than Shiprocked in the family that you'll soon meet on the ship, simply because they are the ultimate giving source. And I'm sure you've heard about it. If you've talked to anybody who's done this ship before, maybe even your agent might have been like, listen, dude, this is going to change a lot of things potentially for you just simply by being in this room. The space that these people inhabit and the culture that has been built there, it is forever, it will forever be ingrained in you and your band as you move forward in your career.
I'm so excited to play.
Been on a ship, by the way? Have you ever
been? Never been on a cruise in my life, so this is all going to be new. This is all
going to be new. It's super interesting.
Let's go straight for the Bermuda Triangle, man. Like, that's where I'm trying to go. I'm trying to disappear. Oh.
At 3 o'clock in the morning after you left the casino, you're going to feel like you were there.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. The interesting thing, too, is that they all love a lot of the Shiprock. They love the bands they know. They've been on before, the big bands, but it's always the joy, though, to find those bands that they're unfamiliar with, and it becomes like their thing, like their band. This is their thing. I was there. And then they start looking out for you as you're coming through their town. They saw you on Shiprock. You're part of the brand and the thing and the family and community they love. It's just this really, Chad said, it's just this thing that snowballs and becomes this, like, if you play Pig's Knuckle, Arkansas, if we have 50 people from Shiprock that went to Pig's Knuckle, Arkansas, and they live there, they're going to be the 50 who show up.
So, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. So you've already got a built-in audience there. But we're actually live on Facebook now. So hi, everybody.
Excellent. What's up? Right.
What's up?
Hey, Steve Miller's watching. Is that the Steve Miller or just Steve Miller?
From the band?
He is
from the band?
From the band, Steve Miller?
Wait, Steve Miller from the Steve Miller band?
Steve Miller, if you're the Joker, just give us a thumbs up, brother.
I heard it.
So, yeah, speaking really quickly of Bad Flower, it's such a, again, listen to the record. You guys are such a really good bookend with them. You know, it just kind of fits. Like if someone goes, well, what's the bill tonight? And someone goes, it's Bad Flower and Dead Poets Society. I'm like, well, you better piss before you start because you're not going to leave for 3 hours. You're sticking around.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, because it's going to be seamless.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love opening for them too, because it's like, you know, you always have this little, when you get on stage initially, you're like, I want to fucking do the best I can. I don't want to push myself every single night and put on the best performance possible. Because when you're opening for a band like Badflower, they put on such a ridiculous show that you're just like, it really, really makes you step your game up, where you're just like, they get on, you're just like, fuck, I have so much to learn. Like, I got to get more experience. And that's, it's so much fun opening for them. So yeah, I think it's a really good relationship because they're pushing us and they're teaching us a lot. And I love it.
I'm fucking happy to hear that. Like, just like I said, it could be any two bands, but when those converse, I share sentiments very similar to what you're saying from other bands, you know, like my mm-hmm. career as a singer in a band was based upon those things for the start of our career. I mean, shit, even Shiprock was the one of the vessels that, like, we were nobody and they put us on the ship, and then the bands that on that ship took us out, you know, and then you learn and you learn and you figure it out and you just carve your way. And the idea of how that, like I said a moment ago, the idea of how that culture continues to build inside of you is literally the ultimate reason why I think most musicians that are doing it not to be on, what do they say, the cover of a magazine, which I guess in 2021, you know, that's the lamest. Yeah. Okay, dude. Print. Cool.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're doing it for the sheer love of the art, the sheer connectivity, the love of the connectivity to the human race, I mean, there's no greater version of figuring it all out than getting your hands dirty. So it's cool to hear.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And especially surrounding yourself with people that are, like, way better than you. You know, it, like, pushes you so much. And it's fun.
Perspective, it's, too.
Yeah.
Know? Like, if you're a fan of the thing that you're doing and the people you're doing it with, that's going to always make you want to be better, even if you fucking are to somebody else. You know, it's part of the engine, you know? It's cool.
Yeah. It's all cumulative.
But isn't that part of it, though, too? You push so hard that you kind of make the headliner go, well, fellas, we got 10 minutes to stage and we got our work cut out for us. So we have to rethink this. We can't just coast, which is always the great thing. You want to be pushed and you want to sit there and go, well, we want to be that band. We want to be the one on a 9-10.
Yeah. You want to set a precedent. I mean, like, as an opening band, like that's where you're like, that's where you're kind of like cutting your teeth. Cause it's like, everybody's been standing there for 2 hours already. You know, if you're like playing like a, you know, theater or something like that, everybody's been standing there, their legs hurt. They're still sober. They're trying to get somewhere drunk. And then you come up on stage and you're like, fuck, start the timer, an hour and a half till fucking I get to see the band I came here for. And so that's where it's like, that's where you have like that, that's why you got to bring your A game. Cause you're the opener and you're just like, all right, everybody already hates me because they just want the headliner already. So it's like time to really see where I can take this. And, that's why it's good.
But it's so funny because it used to be the thing, like, out in the opener, but music fans are so savvy these days and so locked in that they already know who you are. And they're like, well, I'm here to see that band too. And that's the great thing about modern with Spotify and everything. We always like, they don't pay enough for artists, but you know what they do? They do turn people on to bands they weren't familiar with, going like, okay, great example. I believe you Shiprocked. There's a lot of bands on this tour. A lot of fans aren't familiar with who we brought on some of these bands. Guess what? Within a week, they were checking them out. They build their little playlist and you're part of that playlist now. And guess what? By the time this rolls around, they've got every single lyric loaded in their brain because when you come on, they're going to sing along with you. But that's the thing. That's the great thing, though, about the digital era and new bands. You're never, like, new anymore. People know who you are by the time you roll into town, even if you are the opener.
Yeah. And I agree with you on the sentiment with, like, Spotify. I fucking love Spotify. I mean, one of our biggest cities is Moscow, Russia. If Spotify didn't exist, like, we would have never known, or that nobody would have ever known about us. It's just like, yeah, you get the trade off of, like, you know, you need the streams to, like, make any profit off of it. But, like, at the same time, it's just like people in Moscow are listening to my fucking music. What? Yeah. You know? Yeah.
In Soviet Russia, the
Russia.
What was on the rider? Vodka?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, we all know the driver these days. The music's the driver to get them to the thing because they want you to got to buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, true.
And then hopefully some really young, savvy executive from ABC will go, really like this band. I think we're going to use that song as the opener for our new TV show that's streaming to 29 million homes.
That would be dope. Yeah, that's crazy. That's like
what a
I'm
web.
Counting on Coda being synced for the Full House reunion.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
And that was we have a question. Do you mind taking the question, Jack?
Yeah, let's do it.
And this is basically a request. One of our ship rockers, Tina, wants to know, I guess this is pronounced Natalia. Do you have a song named Natalia?
And what up, Tina? How you doing? No, Tina.
All right. So insider then.
Yeah, a little insider right there. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Tina. Thanks for blowing
it. Dang it. Tina strikes again.
Yeah, what do you think, Tina?
Well, hey, man, do you want to do a walk the plank, or do we have any more fan questions before we move into this?
Well, let's do this. Hey, guys, out there, if you have a walk the plank you want to drop right now in the comments, do that, because Chad and I both have our own, but we want to give you guys a chance here to throw in a walk the plank. You guys know the premise. It can be any kind of question. Keep it in certain parameters. And we'll go ahead and ask Jack that question. He can give us his most organic, off-the-cuff answer.
Here's a little number for walking the plank. Walking the plank. It's a little number for walking the plank. We're gonna walk it. Yeah, walk the plank. Walk it.
So, Jack, we should preface this a little bit with, like, walk the plank is more or less, like, this ain't about your band. It's more or less about life, things, general questions, right? And you know, we try to keep them a little bit. I don't know. You'll see. My question, dude, is: are you in? Okay.
Yeah, I'm in.
If you could give human beings one virtue, which one would you choose?
That's
good. This is all human beings.
I would say a virtue. I don't know. Like, it's like perspective a virtue? Is empathy a virtue? I think empathy is a big one. Not too much of it, because I think too much empathy can be just as destructive as any sort of negative emotion, like too much anger or anything like that, because it can make you do things that you regret or sacrifice self-respect and whatnot if you don't keep it in check. But I think empathy is a huge one for me personally.
Good choice.
Yeah, I like that too, because it's funny because you mentioned perspective, but I think you have to probably live a little bit to get perspective, right? But a two-year-old can have empathy.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
And that sort of set in that sort of train of thought, though, maybe perspective at a younger age for people who are growing up. I think perspective only comes with if you have empathy to begin with. Because if you don't have empathy and you don't give a shit about anybody, you're never going to gain any perspective because you're never thinking about your actions.
It's truly a chicken and an egg. Really, right? God. Who crossed it first? my question is strictly music related. If you had to go through your record collection and pick just one for the rest of your existence, which one are you pulling out and taking with?
Whole life? Are you saying like whole life?
Whole life, bud. This one's going to have to last you a few.
Oh, this is tough.
Your Desert Island album.
Black Holes and Revelations. Okay. Black Holes and Revelations by Muse.
That's a pretty, like, I'm not going to say, I think it's a great choice. I can imagine killing myself to that record, because ultimately that's what happens when you choose one form of a soundtrack and you have to listen. It's
I'm kind of taking it back.
You get one mulligan. This is your mulligan.
One mulligan. Okay. Shit. Oh man. You guys are probably going to laugh at me, but maybe A Rush of Blood to the Head by Coldplay.
There's nothing to laugh at. That's a great fucking record.
I love that.
I would do the X or Y. That'd be, listen, anyone that like bags in them just doesn't understand melody and song structure. So yeah, it's amazing.
You. Fucking thank you. You always mention Coldplay and it's like people are trying to attach this fucking like meme band thing to it. It's like, no, they're great songwriters. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, get out of here. Hey, while we're talking about it, Chad, how about you, buddy? What's your record?
Question. No way.
I'm telling you. No, come on, man. Throw down. If I need to, after 5 years, if I need to come to the island and kill you just because you're done with this record, I will do that for you.
Shit. Okay. I don't know if anybody's going to know this record, but now that I'm thinking about the ebbs and flows of life, like I was going to immediately say Toadie's Rubberneck, but I also know that like the vibe that I feel from that record when I listen to it front to back isn't something that I can see like being comfortable the entire time that I'm alive. So I don't know if anybody's going to know this band, but I know the ebbs and flows of the record is something that I can live with. And that would be the band Cursive. The record is The Ugly Organ.
Wow, I have no idea what that is.
I've heard of Cursive. I haven't heard it, but now he's going to have about 200 people rushing out to find out what that record is.
Yeah. Which is yeah. So if you know who Bright Eyes is, the band, the guy Bright Eyes, Connor Oberst, he exists because of Tim Kosher, who is the singer of Cursive. They, in Omaha, were, he was like, Tim Kosher was the local king shit of Fuck Mountain. And basically that whole Omaha scene kind of exploded because of that Tim and his connection to a studio there and everybody like, you know, from Rilo Kiley and onward, it goes, stems there with them. So it's Tim Kosher is the real person I would probably.
What's the name of the record again?
Band is called Cursive. Record is called The Ugly Organ.
The Ugly Organ.
It's about
okay.
the heart.
We got, you know what, we're going to have two questions from the audience. One of them is I really like to know, and the other one's a really great question. This is Karen Gaffney. Would you rather be able to breathe underwater or in outer space?
Outer space. Well, no, it depends. How fast can I move in outer space? Are we within the bounds?
Well, you've seen guys float. I mean, yeah, I guess you float like a million miles an hour or something. Who knows? I don't know. Nothing's holding you. Bouncing so off satellites.
Outer space for sure.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So if we get a flood, you're shit out of luck, my brother.
First to die, bro.
You got 15 seconds. And then the other one is from our most favorite Icelandic, Sonia. She wants to know who's your, or something.
You just asked if she was vegan?
No, she's no, I don't think no. She's a meat eater. Lutefish.
All right, let's bring it back.
Your favorite songwriter of all time.
Well, I learned how to play guitar and sing, oddly enough, by listening to Bob Dylan. But I would say I'm going to have to go with Chris Martin. Chris Martin, I think. Yeah, dude. And Coldplay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm bringing the record on the ship, and that's it.
I respect, honestly, and like I don't know why I would say honestly, but like that's a really respect. I mean, you're right. You're 100%
right.
Better
be honest.
People, yeah. I'm just full on lying to you right now. The sheer like genius that man has, and like you said, Justin, people will. Even you, Jack, people will say, talk shit about it. But like, man, when you can write something as timeless as that man can, you just got to kind of like give him the sword, dude. It's fine. It's okay. Yeah. You know, somebody's got to carry it. Let that guy carry it, you know? Congratulations.
Yeah. You know, and he's done Yellow multiple times over. And then they've branched out and they do dance and upbeat music and whatever, man. That band is, they're not afraid. And they keep ascending, so it's not like bad move. I'm like, not really. They just sold 5,000 more seats in Poughkeepsie, so they're doing okay.
And like as you listen to the Viva La Vida album front to back, it's like they took the essence of what you'd imagine the French Revolution to sound like, and they put it into an album that was modern. It's like, what the fuck? Like, how did you? How, you know? So yeah, they're just brilliant.
Basically, Coldplay is U2 if U2 wore Benetton.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hello, so, I know, right? So, guys out there in Shiprock land, you're listening to Jack from Dead Poets Society. If you guys haven't, check out their new record, Exclamation. And there's some real killers on there. There's some really good things to give you perspective, which we talked about earlier. A few tear jerks.
You gotta know how to spell it too, because it's a little confusing when it's audience. A dash, an exclamation point, and a dash. Just type that into Spotify. Continue.
You know, Jack, dude, that's really hard. It's gonna look great on a t-shirt, but my mm-hmm. God.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, it will.
Fuck yeah, it will.
But check it out. So if you guys want an intro, I recommend Coda, which is really the first track, first single off the album, and then Salt, if you guys wanna a kind of a good feeling for what you might catch on the ship. That sounded really bad, what I just said. What you might hear on the ship. God knows what you're going to catch on the ship.
Yeah.
It ain't on us.
Vibes, bro. Let me loose, good vibes.
Yeah, good vibes.
So, Jack, what else can you tell us? What are the plans for 2021? I know you guys are doing quite a few festivals coming up here in the fall, which is going to be great, because mm-hmm. you're going to be exposed to not just... These are not club level shows. These are massive, you know, these are stadium shows.
I'm shitting my pants a little bit. Let me be honest.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got all those, you know, we got those festivals coming up, Louder Than Life, Illinois State Fair. And then, we got Reading and Leeds in England. And let's see. So we have a lot of shows coming up in the fall. I can't talk about any of them yet or who they're with, but like we got a lot of them, so just keep your eye out for that. And fucking listen to the record.
The fact that you guys are playing Reading and everything like that, and the way the British press takes to American bands, let's take Kings of Leon,
yeah,
Rival Sons, they just become this other thing. So I'm not going to be Oracle here, and I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass, but I could see a cover of Enemy during this run, and them going, totally makes sense. It's their track record, and you guys kind of fit right into that zone, which would be fantastic. And
that would be dope.
You know, kudos to you guys on that. And yeah. So, Chatty, you got anything left to say to Jack before we let this gentleman go?
Yeah, one thing. If your tour dates in the fall end up being like Coldplay or something like that, I'm gonna be like, you baited that fucking hook.
Yeah,
asshole.
Man, what a teaser.
How fucking strange. The audience would be so confused by the end of that.
You're like, what did we just hear?
Yeah. No, man, I'm excited to have you guys on the ship, you know, like just to be in your essence. I've heard nothing but great things about, we don't personally know each other, but I know the people that you run with, and they have nothing to say but the awesomest of things. So I'm very excited to see you.
I know we're
going
to have fun, man. We're going to have a lot of fun.
So check out the record. And yeah, this year is going to be great. I mean, you guys and Bones UK and Little Azar, all these bands are just like these very unique sounding, but they fit right into our paradigm. And I get so stoked at reactions from audience on how you guys will play. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But right now, like myself, the record's been amazing for me so far, and I can't wait to keep listening to it. So again, Jack, thank you so much for spending
thank
this evening
guys.
With us. Thank you, everyone out there in Shiprock land. Make sure and check out the full podcast. It will drop this next Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern on YouTube and wherever you may get your podcast, be it Spotify or iTunes. Remember, exclamation. That's could you do that one more time and what it looks like in Spotify?
A dash, an exclamation point, and a dash.
Tell you what, just ring up Dead Poets Society. You probably find it.
There you go.
All right, Jack, thanks so much, man. And best to the
thank
band.
You.
Please give them you know, a welcome from us and congratulations.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, next week, we'll do this again next Wednesday. We have an artist who is, he's got himself tied to a rocket right now. And so we'll look forward to telling you who that is next Monday. So see you guys out there later. Take care of yourselves. And Jack, Chad, thank you, my friends. We'll do this again.
Good
evening.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.